Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
I was thinking, you know, everything is a little bit relative. This feels like a really small group, right? This is the size of my first church when I started at it. About 40 people hanging out, and you know, about 20-25% of the churches in Canada would be about this size on a normal Sunday morning. So, you know, that's normal. The average size of a church in Canada is about 100 people or so, so we are almost right on average. So this feels a little different than usual, but this would be the norm for other people. Today is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and we've been journeying with Jesus to the cross. Last week, we walked with him as he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and taken by the temple guard before Caiaphas, who was the high priest at the time. And when Jesus declared himself that he was the Messiah, he was convicted of blasphemy. And because Israel was occupied by the Romans, the August Council that was Jesus had been taken before did not have the power to sentence Jesus to death. That power lay solely within the hands of the Roman government. So they took Jesus and brought him before Pilate, who was the Roman governor at the time. And this is where we pick up our story today. Today we're going to stand by Jesus as he's tried by Pilate. Compromise. Compromise, some think of this as a dirty word. All depends on context. If you're in business and making a deal, then often both sides have to compromise. If you are in politics and want something to happen, often both sides have to compromise. If you are married, you probably know that as you navigate life, there are compromises to be made. However, there are times when compromise is the exact wrong thing to do. When people try to get you to do what you know to do is wrong, that's not a time for compromise. When people call good bad and bad good, that's not a time for compromise. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt pressure, peer pressure, to do what you know to do is wrong? You feel pressure to say you believe something that you don't. Don't get me wrong, there's a time to keep silent. You don't have to confront everything that you don't believe in. Some people who work in government are forced to use their pronouns, he, she, them, etc. That comes out of an ideology that you probably don't agree with. But you don't have to confront everything you don't believe in. But occasionally there comes a time when you just can't compromise. Last week we talked about the early Christians who were compelled to offer incense and worship Caesar by bending their knee and saying, Caesar is Lord. By saying Caesar is Lord, of course, they were saying that Jesus isn't Lord overall. They could not compromise on this, so as a result of that, some were thrown to the lions, others were burned at the stake. There are a number of places in Africa where being a Christian can put you in real danger. There are more Christians on the continent of Africa than any other continent in the world. But if you live in parts of Nigeria and don't convert to Islam, then it can be horrible for you. Many believers have been killed, or their homes have been destroyed, or their livelihoods have been taken away. They could not compromise. Their conscience and their faith would not allow it. And some have paid a very dear price for it. Thankfully, we are not that far gone in our country. However, as I articulated last week, faith is being forced out of the public square. We have a freedom to believe what we want, but we don't necessarily have the freedom to behave as we believe. This morning, as we look at the trial of Jesus, we're going to see Pilate slide towards compromise. And as we're doing that, we're going to see Jesus who stands gently against and uncompromisingly. I am hoping that we can learn from each of them this morning. When we get to this morning's story, the relationship between the Jews and Pilate, well, it's already strained. See, Pilate had gone into the temple, and he'd taken money that was given to the temple, and he essentially stole it and then repurposed it to build aqueducts to run water into Jerusalem. Well, that caused riots in the streets. It caused a lot of unrest in the country, and a considerable amount of Jewish lives were taken because of that unrest. So we have Pilate, and there's tension between him and the Jewish leaders. But Pilate's governed Israel for a while now, and he understood the Jewish people. So it was early in the morning, and it was the day before Passover. Now, if a Jewish person went into the house of a Gentile person, they would be ceremonially unclean. And what that meant at this time is that they would not be able to celebrate Passover. So the Jewish leaders had condemned Jesus. They brought Jesus to Pilate. They stand outside his house and said, "Would you come out to us?" And he granted their request. John chapter 18, verse 29. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. The relation is strained, but Pilate understood what was happening. Matthew 27, verse 18 records, Pilate knew very well that the religious leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy, or others translated out of jealousy, or out of self-interest. He understood that they were handing Jesus over to him, not because they believed he was a criminal. Now, they did believe that he was a heretic, not a criminal. Pilate understood that. So what's Jesus' reaction to being labeled a criminal? Verse 33. Then Pilate went back to his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked. Jesus replied, "Is this your own question, or did others tell you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate retorts. "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate said, "So you are a king?" Jesus responded, "You say I'm a king. Actually, I was born and came into this world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that when I say what I say is true." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. Then he went out again to the people and told them, "He's not guilty of any crime." Pilate asked, "What is truth?" But he knows what the truth is about Jesus. He knows the people accusing Jesus are doing so for self-serving motives. But this is where the problem begins. When you know something is true, and it conflicts with what others want you to say is true, then you get put in the same dilemma as Pilate. You will have people who want you to agree with the statement that, well, all religions are equally valid, or all roads lead to heaven, or if you really believe something, then it's true, at least true for you. Sure, we could make a longer list, but of things that you're asked to say that are true that you know are not. Look how Jesus speaks to Pilate. He states very plainly, he's not a king, at least in the sense that the accusers meant that word, king. His kingdom is not of this world. But I do have something to tell you. I want to tell you the truth, and if you listen to me, you'll hear it. He didn't rant. He didn't get offended. He gently stated the truth of who he was. That's so different than some people I know who get all riled up when their beliefs are called into question. People, when you are asked to compromise, and you can be like Jesus, take on his posture, not a combative posture, but one of grace, but also one of truth. So Pilate's tactics in dealing with this was, well, maybe I can misdirect people. Verse 39. But so he goes out to the Jewish leaders, and but you have a custom of asking me to release one prisoner each year at Passover. Would you like me to release this king of the Jews? He knew Jesus to be innocent. He shouldn't be released because of custom. He should be released because, well, there's no basis for the charges. But if he could just get the Jewish leaders to agree to the plan, then he figured, it's a win-win situation. Jesus would be released, but because he was released this way, he would not be seen to be innocent. And this is the first step of Pilate going down a slippery slope, trying to fudge the truth you know. The crowd want nothing to do with the plan. They shouted for the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus. Verse 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. If he couldn't fudge the truth, well, maybe he could diminish the truth. He didn't want to kill Jesus, but maybe if he hurt him or hurt him bad enough, that would satisfy the people. So he couldn't misdirect, and now he's trying to diminish the truth. One step further in the compromise. Verse 4. Well, Pilate went outside again and said to the people, I'm going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find him not guilty. Now remember, Jesus has just been flogged with a leather-tip whip, so he would be all gory, messy. Then Jesus came out wearing this crown of thorns and purple robe, and Pilate said, look, here is the man. When they saw him, the leading priests and temple guards began shouting, crucify him, crucify him. Take him and crucify him, Pilate said. I find him not guilty. Pilate again affirms Jesus' innocence. But now he starts to behave in a way that he doesn't believe. He abandons the truth. Or in our vernacular, he holds up his hands and says, whatever, people, whatever. And just, you know, get out of here, whatever. You go do what you want to do. And he abdicates his own power. He could have said no, but there was a cost to saying no. So he goes from misdirection to diminishing the truth to abandoning the truth. Verse 7 of chapter 19. So the Jewish leaders replied, but by our law he ought to die because he called himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was more frightened than ever. We're not told why Pilate was frightened. He was already in conflict with the Jewish leaders, so I don't think that was it, although obviously he didn't like the outcome if he went against the Jewish leaders. But I think Pilate finally got a glimpse of who Jesus was. He'd heard Jesus say, my kingdom is not of this world. Now he hears, he claims he is the Son of God. The man standing before me, Pilate started thinking, might be more than just a man. I may just have had the Son of God flogged. Meanwhile, Matthew's gospel tells us that while the trial is going on, Pilate gets a message from his wife. Matthew chapter 27. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with this innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. Pilate starts putting everything together. And now he's really afraid. Verse 8. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. And he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed you over to me is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. Where do you come from? Pilate wasn't asking about Nazareth. Look what Jesus does. He says nothing. Jesus knew that Pilate knew the truth. There was nothing more to say. Sometimes the right response is just to be silent. In the face of a silent Jesus, Pilate exerts his power. "Don't you know I have power to free or crucify you?" Jesus doesn't defend himself. He just offers a different perspective to Pilate. "Your power comes from heaven." But Jesus goes further and he says, tells Pilate, "Listen, the people who handed you over to me, they have a greater sin than you have." Again, when a person can judge the degree of sin, maybe this person is no ordinary person. Verse 12, from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar's. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." Now, the problem is that Pilate had walked so far down the road of compromise that it was hard now to walk it back because the crowd was riled. They sensed blood. They could see it going their way, and they're going to keep on pressing. Verse 13. So when Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at the palace, at the place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Find it interesting that the people who were trying to get Pilate to compromise were compromised themselves. Remember, these are the same people who would despise tax collectors because, well, they were complicit with the Roman government. And now what they're saying is, they're boldly declaring, "We have no king but Caesar." Off in the way, isn't it? People who are compromised will try to get you to compromise. People who drink alcohol to excess will try to get you to drink alcohol to excess. People who involve themselves in shady business deals will try to get you involved in shady business deals. So what does Pilate do? Here's what Matthew records is happening. Matthew 27, 24. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead of an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he replied. "It is your responsibility." John just simply records, finally Pilate handed him over to be crucified. There was a 4th century historian called Eusebius who said that Pilate ended up committing suicide because he was racked with guilt. Other traditions have Pilate obsessively always washing his hand, trying to wash the guilt away. Few traditions have Pilate becoming a Christian. We don't really know what the story is about Pilate after this, but I do know that in the face of compromise, we often find ourselves having to deal with guilt. Now, the cross is by far the best way to deal with guilt because Jesus took our guilt, Pilate's guilt, our guilt, your guilt upon himself. And he gave us his righteousness. But sometimes people just ride their guilt out and harden their hearts and try to make what was wrong right in their own eyes, and they're compromised. So I don't know what the future is going to bring in Canada. I am thankful that we have the freedom we have here. Our brothers and sisters in China, in Malaysia, in Algeria, in Nigeria, have it a lot worse than us. We may not have always have the status of freedom that we have now. There are times and places to compromise, but there are times when we need to stand firm. When you're pressured to compromise, be like Jesus. You don't have to give in to the pressure placed on you. You don't have to be obnoxious when you are standing firm. But I'd have you remember Jesus didn't compromise, and he was crucified. It is not an easy place to be when you're feeling pressure to compromise. But this world is not all that there is. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the pressure. Have this attitude in you that is also in Christ Jesus. So what do you do when you're feeling pressure to compromise? Well, sometimes it's right to be silent. Sometimes it's you need to speak up. And sometimes we're not sure what we should do. If you have the time, talk to a fellow follower of Jesus who has wisdom. Check your own heart. Some people like a fight. Is this about you wanting a fight? Is your heart clear before God? If you decide that, yeah, this isn't an issue I can bend on, then find a promise that you can hold on to because you know the storm is coming. And you pray. And you trust God, recognizing that he has you in his hands in this life and the next. And you trust him. Don't go down the road of Pilate. Be like Jesus. Let's pray. So, Lord, in this time, we ask that you would help us to stand firm in our faith. Help us to know when to be silent and when to speak the truth. But also help us, Lord, to always have an attitude of humility and of grace. Lord, thank you for who you are and your how you set an example for us. Help us, Lord, to walk with you and be like you. I pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.